Welcome back. We're continuing our study here in the Acts of the Apostles, written by our good friend Luke. And we've got to chapter 13, where here we have Paul and Apollos and have now entered. They departed from Perga, and they came to Antioch, and they're sitting in the synagogue, listening to the reading of the law and the prophets. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So here they're strangers, basically, in a strange town. And, of course, this is the prompting of the Holy Spirit for those that are in charge there in the temple or reading of the law and the prophets to look on them and say, "Hey, if you got a message, come up here and exhort us." And so all Paul needed was an invitation, right? I mean, I wouldn't bother me a bit if I walked into a church and someone pointed at me and said, "Hey, you want to come up here and preach?" Oh, I wouldn't have a problem doing that, just as Paul had no problem here. So he says, "Say on." And chapter 13 and verse 16, Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. About the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness." Yes, they had fairly bad manners, didn't they? "And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed God hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Yahshua," Jesus. "When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, 'Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but beholdeth there come one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose.' Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written, in the second psalm, 'Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.' And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he saith on this wise, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, 'Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption.' For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall nowise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So you had men who were not Jews going to the synagogue, believing in the promises of God, acknowledging the Heavenly Father, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, really the creator of the universe. That's why they were there. So the Jews had gone out of the synagogue. The Gentiles kind of lagged behind, mingling together, beseeching Paul that these words might be preached to them again on the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw that the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. And they shook off the dust of their feet again against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And you know, this is a pattern we're going to see time and time again. And this pattern lives on today. You get the unbelievers as stirring up the authorities, of course, more evil men, those that they can stir up, and they make up their minds evil affected against the brethren. That means that they believe evil about them. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. So they always get those that are in authority to go along with them to persecute believers. That's how it happens today. That's how it happened then. Things really don't change that much, do they? They were aware and fled to Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Going to have a notable miracle here. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholded him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonia, or Lyconians, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We are just men like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are in them, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And it came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead." So finally they got, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city and presumed that he was dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, he had taught many. They returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And which means that it isn't easy. And I bid everyone, everywhere, all the time, to cross the border into the kingdom of God. And of course, that's by way of illustration that it is a kingdom, something like the other kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of this world have their laws and their lawgivers. They have a border, which is a imaginary line on the earth, perhaps fixed with a fence or something like that, a border between this nation's land and that nation's land, which you may or may not need permission to cross over. The kingdom of God is like that too. It has a border, but it's not on the land, and it certainly is not imaginary. You need permission to cross over that border, and the permission goes like this. You repent. That's right. You repent of your sins with a true heart, desiring to live in righteousness before our God and our lawgiver. Then you enter his kingdom, not by permission of me or any other man. You won't find any border crossing guards because they're not necessary. You repent. You have a true desire to live by the law of the king, and you will be in his kingdom, and you continue in righteousness. But the minute you say, "Well, I don't want to give up that," or "I'm going to hold on to this wickedness or this idolatry," you will find yourself outside the kingdom so fast it'll make your head spin, but you may not even notice it. That's right, because that's the way it is. It's a voluntary kingdom, and the minute you stop volunteering to live by the law of the king, you're out. And I'm not going to say that you cross the border into his kingdom and that you will never fall down, because you will. But tribulation, yes. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. There's going to be trials, there's going to be tests, there's going to be temptations. You are going to be tested to see if you really do want to follow and live a life that is pleasing to the king. You will be tested. The trials will come, and we will see what you're made of. We'll see who you are. You will remain in his kingdom, or you will not remain in his kingdom, but it will be up to you. And only those who remain or endure the tribulation, the much tribulation, only those who endure in his kingdom till the end of their mortality will be in his kingdom forever. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing. I can't accept anything pulling me out of his kingdom. There is nothing that anyone could offer me. Not even my own life could they offer me. Fear not them which can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. So we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And this is the message that Paul is preaching, confirming the souls of the disciples made as he traveled. Now he's traveling back through the cities, exhorting them to continue in the faith, telling them that through much tribulation they must enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, and commended them unto Yahuwah, unto the Lord, on whom they believed, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. That seems a reasonable question, doesn't it? Let's go back to the time that they were in, but you know, what is unreasonable that here you have grown men that are going to be circumcised? Should this happen? Is this a requirement? So, well, let's find out what happened here. So, certain Barnabas, Paul, and certain other of them are going to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought underway by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused a great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all the things that God had done. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider the matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of God, the gospel, and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God, and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And what's Peter talking about? Put a neck on our fathers that we were not able to bear. Say, we could not fulfill righteousness by the law. Righteousness does not come by the law, but it comes by faith, because no one can fully keep the law. There was only one who fully kept the law and never erred his whole life, and that was the Messiah himself. That's the testimony we have from Scripture, that no one could conquer death. That's the point. We couldn't do it. So he says, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, speaking of those disciples of the Gentiles, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe, he says, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. So we have James here, James who writes to us several short epistles, very important epistles as far as I'm concerned, some that people don't like, because he says, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works, for faith without works is dead. That James. So he beckons to them, they hold their peace, and James answers, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And which is fulfilled, because the tabernacle of David had been torn down by the Babylonians, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known to God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Known to God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them, that they abstain from the pollutions of idols. That's something very important. This is a directive, that we abstain from the pollutions of idols. And now that great church that grows up and out of the Roman Empire and called itself the Universal Church, that cult, they embrace the pollution of idols. We are not to embrace the pollution of idols. And those that look to the church and look to the scripture so that they can practice the pollution of idols, taking the word which we just covered today and the word Easter appearing and them grabbing a hold of that unfaithfully without authority of the scripture, using the scripture for wickedness so that they can practice the pollutions of idols and Ashtaroth in Easter Sunday. Well, I've got a good sermon coming here, but not enough time for it today. So make sure that you're with me next time on Cross the Border. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.